The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
All right, welcome to the Carl Jackson Podcast, guys. Forgive me, my voice is still a little rough based upon a cold that I've had, and it seems like I'm developing laryngitis here, but I thought it was really important to get this podcast out today. So I want to talk about several things today, and I want to try to connect the dots on a couple of stories, those stories being what I reported just a week or two ago, where Michelle Bachmann warned of Biden's maneuvering to cede U.S. health prerogatives to the World Health Organization. I want to talk about what's happening in Davos right now with the World Economic Forum, and I'll connect the dots with what's happening as far as doctors and medical care workers, how we need to be able to protect their conscience, why that all connects to what's happening in Davos. We'll get to that, as well as Biden has almost gotten us, or seems to be getting us, into another war. Perhaps with China. God help us. Anyway, we'll talk about that next on the Carl Jackson Podcast.
Redeemed, rehabilitated, and real entertaining. This is the Carl Jackson Podcast.
All right, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for joining me today. I hope you can handle my raspy voice. I know it sounds bad, but anyway, we'll get through this together, if you will. I still want to get into the news of the day. Hopefully you can bear with me, but I want to start with this. Very important. Biden might get us into yet another war. This guy, God help us all. He had a big gaffe yesterday, which is just horrendous. You guys, you've seen what's happened with Afghanistan, right? I mean, our surrender there, there's possibly still Americans there. And then he's gotten us into a proxy war via using Ukraine against Russia. And now the guy talks about he says that we're going to defend Taiwan militarily, when all we need to do is shut up about the matter and we can just give Taiwan the weaponry they need to be able to defend themselves. What he should have done with Ukraine, so that we're not bogged down in a war. Now you have Milley contemplating as to whether or not we're going to send troops to Ukraine. This guy, Biden and his administration, are a danger, not just for the United States of America, but for the world. Frankly, we see that when America has a strong leader, the world is calm. The world was calm under President Trump, despite the media's claims that the world was going to be set ablaze. And under Biden, we have this feckless, weak guy in the White House whose policies are horrendous, who's completely incompetent and incapable of being a leader of the greatest nation that God has ever given man. And as a result of that, the world is in chaos. So we'll start with that issue. Also, there was an interesting story. There was an interesting story out yesterday. I heard it from my buddies, the American Adversaries. I found it today. The Census Bureau has undercounted 5 red states and overcounted 6 blue states. Talk about a rigged election. And then you guys may have heard that Stacey Abrams, she said something really dumb that I think has damaged her gubernatorial chances to become the governor of Georgia, or at least I hope that's the case. We're going to talk about all that, but let's start here. All right. So this hat tip, CNS News, Biden said on Monday that he would be willing for the United States to get involved militarily should China invade Taiwan, adding that, quote, "That's a commitment we made." His staffer came out and corrected him immediately, as has to happen, it seems like, pretty regularly with Biden talking with all of his gaffes, trying to act like a tough guy, meanwhile getting us bogged down possibly into another war. Hopefully this doesn't happen, but the guy really has to learn to shut up. His staff really needs to teach him, or perhaps they need to curtail themselves, just to be quiet when it comes to these world issues. No one takes him seriously. He's a complete and utter joke. The world knows it. The world's dictators know it, sadly, and they're going to take advantage of the world while we have a weak leader inside of the White House. It's as simple as that. But the least that Biden should do is make sure that he doesn't cause even more damage. And certainly he's not doing that. Here's what the staffer said after they tried to correct what Biden had to say. He said the White House official later corrected Biden, saying, quote, "Our policy has not changed," close quote. But here's what Biden was asked to set things off. You didn't want to get involved in the Ukraine conflict, right? This was during a joint press conference in Tokyo with Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida. And a reporter said to Biden, "You didn't want to get involved in the Ukraine conflict military for obvious reasons. Are you willing to get involved militarily to defend Taiwan if it comes to that?" And then Biden responds, "Yes." All right. This guy really, really needs to learn constraint. He says, "That's a commitment we made. That's a commitment we made. We are not. And then he says, he pauses, "Look, here's the situation. We agree with the one China policy. We've signed on to it and all the attendant agreements made from there." Basically, they're walking a fine line. China believes that they basically own every Asian country surrounding them. That's their, you know, and they believe they own Taiwan. That's their one China policy. They want to be able to take over these nations. They consider these nations separate nations, a nation state of China. And it's just a matter of time before they retake it. So that's essentially the one China policy. Biden goes on to say, but the idea that it could be taken by force, just taken by force, is just not appropriate. It would dislocate the entire region and be another action similar to what happened in Ukraine. All right. So you think Xi Jinping, he hears Ukraine and he's like, bells go off. All right. What is Biden trying to do to me? What is Biden saying? I'm telling you, when it comes to military strength, when it comes to keeping dictators under control, I think Trump was very wise, like him or not. He was very wise when it came to foreign policy. And his idea was to go ahead and talk to the leaders. I didn't even agree with that initially, but he proved me wrong. And that is to talk to the leaders, even these dictatorial leaders, but to keep them in check if something were to happen. So he was like, "Listen, I'll work with you all day long. The moment you cross me, I'm going to beat you down." And that's exactly what he did. So they learned to respect him. These world dictators, they don't respect Joe Biden. And it's a problem because this guy just pops off at the mouth. And when he pops off at the mouth, these dictators, they look at a weak leader in Joe Biden and they have to ask themselves, all right, before America gets a strong leader again, Lord willing, in 2024, what can we do? Because we know he isn't going to do absolutely anything. But yet we have to get ourselves, this is the dictators talking, we have to get ourselves in a situation where we're just as militarily strong as the United States, if not more so. All right. Biden goes on to say, and so it's a burden that is even stronger. And then the White House official, as the president said, reiterates, there's no change. But as the president said, our policy has not changed. So they have to constantly go behind Biden to do a cleanup act. He iterated our one child policy and our commitment to peace and stability across the Taiwan Strait. He also reiterated our commitment under the Taiwan Relations Act to provide Taiwan with the military means to defend itself, close quote. And again, that's a staffer of the White House trying to clean up after Joe Biden's mess. But clearly that is not what Biden said or intended to say with his unequivocal yes, right? So moments earlier, Biden moments earlier had pointed to the situation in Ukraine and said that if after all the Russian President Vladimir Putin has done, if Moscow and Kiev were to reach an agreement and sanctions against Russia were lifted, he said, quote, then what signal does that send to China about the cost of attempting to take Taiwan by force? You see that little dig at China? Just shut your pie hole. Really, Biden, just shut your pie hole so you don't get all of us killed. For God's sakes, This is unbearable almost. Then Biden goes on to say they're already flirting with danger right now by flying so close and all the maneuvers that are undertaken. He said this referring, of course, to Chinese warplanes that repeated incursions into Taiwan's defense air zone. By the way, hat tip to CNS News for this information. But Biden goes on to say, but the United States is committed. The United States is committed. We've made a commitment. We support the one child China policy. We support all that we've done in the past. But that does not mean that China has the ability, the jurisdiction to go in and use force to take over Taiwan. Some of my hesitation that you might hear is literally me, and that's a close quote, literally me quoting Biden as he's stammering to answer some questions or to explain himself. And again, forgive me if you're tuning in. My voice is almost gone. I got sick over the weekend. And so I was fighting a very bad sore throat. And now it appears to just have graduated, if you will, to some form of laryngitis. But I want to get through today's podcast and rest up a little bit. Hopefully I'll be better, a little better tomorrow. Biden goes on to say he did not think China would take such a step, but that that would depend to a large degree on how firmly the world makes it clear to Beijing. And he says, quote, that kind of action is going to result in long-term disapprobation by the rest of the community. Although China insists that the U.S. complies with the one China principle, finely balanced U.S. policy is distinct from China's. Our view is a little different. When you guys may know that in 1979, we enacted the 1979 Taiwan Relations Act, which commits the U.S. to provide the island democracy with military aid. So it also declares that the U.S. will, quote, consider any effort to determine the future of Taiwan by other than peaceful means, including by boycotts or embargoes, a threat to the peace and security of the Western Pacific area and of grave concern to the United States, close quote. So we need to go ahead and name it and claim it. Either we're going to protect Taiwan or we're not. I think all Biden has to say basically is Taiwan is a sovereign nation. Proclaim Taiwan a sovereign nation and call it a day. All the talking that he needs to do, he can do in private to Xi Jinping. He can do it to the leader of Taiwan. He can provide Taiwan with arms. I think it'll be much cheaper for us to go this route. I do think, at least for the time being, because of the chip situation, it's in the United States' best interest to help protect Taiwan. But what we can't do is get into another war like we've seen in Russia and Ukraine. And make no doubt about it, that's a proxy war. That's our proxy war that's occurring in Russia. We wanted to degrade Russia. You heard Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin say it. And now we're spending buttloads of money to do so and to replenish our own military supply. And all of this is a result. We should have never had to get involved in the situation in Russia and Ukraine, except to send military equipment. And we should have done that on the DL, and we should have done that early, and that way we wouldn't be in this mess right now, frankly, fighting a proxy war against Russia. All right, so Jimmy Carter passed the legislation, Taiwan Relations Act, when it passed in 1979, when Jimmy Carter cut formal diplomatic ties with Taiwan and went ahead and recognized Beijing. So here's the balance. The Biden referred in Tokyo to the one China policy and the attendant agreements, close quote, and three joint communiques signed in 1972, 1979, and 82, where the U.S. acknowledged that Beijing has its particular stance on one China, but without explicitly recognizing Beijing's claim to the island and without taking a position itself on Taiwan sovereignty. I think we should take that position on Taiwan sovereignty, call it a day. Arm them with the military supplies they need. Shut the heck up and get out of Dodge. It's as simple as that. And here's what the U.S. policy seeks: a peaceful resolution of the dispute on the two sides of the Taiwan Strait, in line with the free choice of the Taiwanese people. So we want to be able to stand with the Taiwanese people. I think we should claim that they are sovereign, and then after that, we should shut our pie holes. Again, we can arm them But Biden needs to shut up. He's going to get us all killed. And I really do believe it's that I believe it's getting that dangerous. All right. Now, talk about a rigged election. Before I go into this deep dive here, the United States Census Bureau undercounted 5 red states and overcounted 6 blue states in the 2020 census, according to a report issued by the agency this month. Carl, why is that important? Well, this is important because remember, the way that we get our representation in Congress is by means of the population. So consider all of the illegal aliens that are coming across the border right now, and the Biden administration is trying to populate them, fly them all across the country, not just on the West, and populate them in areas where the population, so the population can grow more densely, so that they can get more Democrats can get more representation in different parts of the country. That's exactly. And that's exactly what he's doing with the border, creating a what I call the new Negro vote. This is just as important when you undercount the amount of people in red states and overcount in blue states. What do you think you're going to get? You're going to get underrepresentation in red states by Congress. You're going to get overrepresentation in predominantly blue states and blue areas in Congress. So all these people that were coming out and lambasting Donald Trump, including the Brookings Institute, who claim that Trump was trying to, quote, hijack the process, close quote, and, quote, imperil America's future, when all he wanted was the citizen. You guys remember that, the citizenship question on the census? Well, he didn't get the citizenship question, but here's what the left got. They got overrepresentation in several states, while red states get underrepresentation. So, and the Washington Post came after Trump as well for wanting to put a question that should be on the census. Are you an American citizen? Right. That makes sense. Oh, man, this is unbelievable where we are. And just consider Biden wanted to end Title 42. You don't have to answer on the Census Bureau. On the census, whether or not you're an American citizen. And now you can just flood the country. And what Democrats are going to try to do is get all of these illegal aliens to vote. Make no mistake about it. So here's what the Census Bureau released, a report detailing how a number of states were undercounted, while some, again, were overcounted. The states that were undercounted include Arkansas, Florida, Illinois, Mississippi, Tennessee, and Texas. Isn't it amazing that all of these states, or at least except all but one, voted twice for Trump in the last 2 presidential elections? Isn't that funny that they were somehow undercounted? But all of these states are considered, except for Illinois, obviously, they are considered red states. Now, the overcounted states, let's see if you can find the spot the trend here. They include Delaware, Hawaii, Massachusetts, Minnesota, New York, Ohio, Rhode Island, and Utah, 6 of which are Democrat strongholds. All right. So those are being overrepresented. And I heard about this when my buddies were talking about it, the American Adversaries. And I was like, listen, I just got to talk about this. You talk about a rigged election. This is the stuff that makes a difference during election season. If Democrats are being overrepresented in Congress, it needs to be corrected. The problem is we won't be able to correct it until the next time the census rolls around. And hopefully there will be people with backbone in office willing to do just that. All right, Stacey Abrams. What did Stacey Abrams come out and said? She said something really stupid, that something to the effect of, let me try to find it. Gabe, do you happen to know what she said by chance? I don't want to misquote her. I think this is one of those issues where people are just fed up. People are fed up with social justice warriors like Stacey Abrams. They see how far the country has gone down the toilet since social justice warriors like her have been in power. The AOCs of the world, Stacey Abrams, not a lot of difference. I think it's going to hurt the left during the midterm elections. There's no doubt about it. You can't say that the state that you want to run, the state, the election that you want to win, and the state that you want to be the governor of, it's the worst state in the union. You could take it, I guess, hey, if I get elected, I'll make it better. But that's not what she said. So she had to go ahead and walk it back. And that's the problem with these social justice warriors. They have to walk stuff back in the election season. But in a sense, I think she said what she meant. You know, I don't think she believes that America is a great place. I don't think she believes that that Georgia is a great place, not as long as a white man is running it. This is what they believe. And now what they have to do is try to run from what they believe. But I don't think it's going to bode well. As soon as we get that quote exactly right, I'll make sure. Okay, so Georgia is the worst state in the country to live in. If I'm Brian Kemp or Perdue or whoever's going to win the primary today, because the Georgia primary is going on, listen, I don't have skin in the game. Obviously, you guys know that President Trump has endorsed former Senator Perdue, and Pence has come out. Former Vice President Pence has come out and stood behind current Governor Brian Kemp. I don't have a dog in the race. I know a lot of conservatives would prefer to see Perdue win. I haven't paid enough attention to the race and both candidates. I saw some things that Kemp did last year during the pandemic or the last couple of years that were really good. There were some things he did that I thought weren't so great. No doubt about it, particularly when it came to the election process. But I think Georgia has tightened up on those things, and I think it's just going to be a tough battle. Again, I simply just don't have a dog in that fight. I know people have a preference. I do want the most conservative candidate, but it seems to me that Perdue has been, even though he may be a better governor, he hasn't been a great campaigner. And unfortunately, that matters in today's world. Why don't we go ahead and just play the video of Stacey Abrams real quick? Go ahead. Go right ahead, Gabe.
I am tired of hearing about being the best state in the country to do business when we are the worst state in the country to live. When you're number 48 for mental health, when you're number one for maternal mortality, when you have an incarceration rate that's on the rise and wages that are on the decline, then you're not the number one place to live in the United States. But we can get there, Gwinnett.
All right. So she tried to contextualize that. When you have a high incarceration rate, that's not a bad thing, right? All of these social justice warriors want to be soft on crime. That means Georgians, if you elect Stacey Abrams, crime is going to get worse as well as far as mental illness is concerned. They are not the 48th in the entire nation. That's completely asinine and nonsensical. All you have to do, frankly, is walk around predominantly blue states like New York City or California, Los Angeles, to see where serious mental illness problems are occurring. You'll see an abundance of homelessness in those areas, particularly in Los Angeles and places like that. So it's just a silly, wrongful thing to say. There were a couple of other things she mentions, but the lady is just, this is what happens when you are a social justice warrior. You have nothing to run on. All you can do is complain. She doesn't have real solutions herself, except to say that America is racist, except to say that the election was stolen from her, except to say that whites are racist, so on. The system is oppressive, so on, et cetera. So I don't think that's going to bode well for her. I believe, in my opinion, that she just lost the race with that comment. And I know Republicans, I get it. Republicans are doing a lot of damage to each other. But the truth of the matter is, she's a horrible candidate. And I don't think she's going to succeed. Smart lady, but horrible candidate. All right. Social justice warriors tend to be that. All right. Now, let me go into a deep dive. I want you to understand what's happening right now. We have this thing, this World Economic Forum. Savannah Hernandez has been doing some great work out there, as well as Jack Posobiec of Human Events. I think he's working on behalf of Turning Point USA, Charlie Kirk's organization, but they both have been doing some great reporting from there. There's video that has emerged from them, both Savannah Hernandez and I believe Jack Posobiec of Human Events, where they are literally trying to find out and ask questions about what's happening with the World Economic Forum. They're not being allowed to do so. You literally have police officers, cops, security, whatever they may be, outside telling them not to record. They're not permitted to record. Recall, we're in the United States of America, so we have freedom of speech rights here. They don't have that in Davos, Switzerland, so that's something you have to keep in mind. They're not willing to comply. But basically, you have these these billionaires and these world leaders that all converge on Davos, Switzerland during this World Economic Forum. They come in their private jets while they bash all of us upside the head, talking about man-made global warming and how it's killing the environment. They don't believe any of this nonsense. That's just a way for them to gain control. What they want is a one world government. These are words that I never thought I'd utter because they sound like such a conspiracy theory. But the fact is, this is true. This is what the World Economic Forum is trying to do. Now, having said that, they want a totalitarian government where you better shut up and be quiet. And the only people that have a say are the elites. And that whether that be the people in Washington, D.C. here in the United States, the elites across the world, whether that be Xi Jinping or other despots around the world, those people will have a say in the World Economic Forum and anyone that buys into their nonsense. But the people that won't have a say are average, everyday working Americans and working class citizens across the globe, and poverty stricken citizens, for that matter as well, will never get a chance or the opportunity to grow outside of poverty, because the World Economic Forum and the people associated with that want to control us and want to keep us all in bondage. Having said that, this is where I want to connect the dots. All right. So first off, I got to remind you of something that Michelle Bachmann warned us of. It's been approximately a couple of weeks ago now where she said, listen, she warns that Biden is trying to maneuver to cede U.S. health prerogatives to the World Health Organization, HATIP, just the news. And I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but it's worth revisiting now that we see now the situation in Davos, the gathering of the World Economic Forum is occurring in Davos right now. But she goes on to say, and she's a former Tea Party star, former congressional congresswoman. But she says the Biden administration is stealthily maneuvering to cede U.S. health care sovereignty to the UN World Health Organization and, quote, create a platform for global governance. The Biden administration will propose amendments to, or perhaps they already have, the international health regulations. Again, this was written a couple of weeks ago, treaty via the World Health Assembly when the WHO's international policy setting forum convenes May 22nd to May 28th. It's May 24th. So these amendments or proposals may have already been spoken about. Bachmann told Just the News, Not Noise, that's John Solomon's organization, that the Biden proposal would effectively cede United States sovereignty authority over our healthcare decisions to the World Health Organization Director General. That's Tedros, I can't pronounce his last name, but Tedros Adhanom. Real hard names. I'll just say Tedros, all right, because I don't want to butcher it. Tedros, she says, made almost every mistake, and we guys know this to be true, and wrong call that he could make during the pandemic, and yet we're going to cede our healthcare sovereignty to this clown that's bought and paid for by the Chinese communist government. In my opinion, it's absolutely crazy. Bachmann told show's co-host John Solomon and Amanda Head that the U.S. should not only pull out of the World Health Assembly and the World Health Organization, but also leave the United Nations. I couldn't agree more. These institutions, these nation states, they don't think like us. There's a reason why America is the number one country in the world, not necessarily because of our people, but because of our constitution, because of our system, because of our ideas, because of the Bill of Rights. These other countries don't embrace those rights. All right. And that's what makes us exceptional amongst all of these countries. It's the citizens that are in charge, or at least that are supposed to be in charge, not the powerful leaders, not the elitists. The World Economic Forum and all of these people affiliated with the World Health Organization, the United Nations, they would like to turn that around. They believe that America is this evil country, oppressive country. We've stolen from, we've stolen and we've pillaged from the countries around the world. And honestly, I don't think a lot of these dictators believe that, but they see that liberals in America are stupid enough to say that. So they're going to capitalize on it to take all the wealth that they can away from the United States of America. That's just the way that it is. Michelle Bachmann goes on to say, as bad as Dr. Fauci and Dr. Rochelle Walensky were with their authoritarian decision at the CDC and NIH, now their authority would be given to the World Health Organization. So the World Health Organization is going to do what they see fit with the United States healthcare system if we cede power to them, healthcare sovereignty to them. All right. So having had that refresher, I want to close it out with this. Now, I want you to consider what's happening here. All right. So this is from the Federalist, how Republican Congress can protect healthcare workers from the biggest federal erasure of their conscience rights ever. All right. So I want to connect the dots here. You have the World Economic Forum. You have the Great Reset occurring. These guys, they want a total, they want a totalitarian one world government. That's the Great Reset. Capitalism doesn't work. They're going to use these ESG scores, environmental, social justice, governance scores to determine how people are to shape how people behave in the United States and around the world. So they've got their own system to control us, something that would supersede the Constitution of the United States. This is really scary stuff. It sounds so crazy. At times, I'm almost hesitant to talk about it, except I know it to be true. This is the world that we're living in today. But if you connect the dots, World Economic Forum to, one world government, you have to start looking at healthcare. Healthcare, energy, identity politics is how the left, these radicals, these one world, these globalists, if you will, this is how they'll achieve their world dominance. All right. One of those means or all of those means. So healthcare, I think, is the most crucial. We saw what they did with the COVID lockdowns, how they were able to control people as a result of those lockdowns. So thanks to the leaked opinion and the Dobbs case, abortion rights, I had tipped the Federalist. Abortion rights have become a hot topic on the left. But the article goes on to say, but what about the rights of healthcare workers to refuse to abort babies? Well, Carl, you're talking about the World Economic Forum and you're talking about aborting babies. No, guys, you got to think bigger. Don't just stop with abortions. If the World Health Organization, if the World Economic Forum, people like Bill Gates, people that believe that too many people are populating the earth, if they get control, if they get healthcare sovereignty over the United States of America, what the heck do you think they're going to do with us? Hey, you conservatives, you won't comply. You don't believe that we're all powerful. You believe in the Constitution of the United States. You believe in the Bill of Rights. You believe in religious freedoms. So you're not going to be down with the World Economic Forum struggle. Okay. Perhaps your life isn't worth saving. So you just can't think of abortion. The article goes on to say, what about the rights of healthcare workers to refuse to abort the babies or to refuse participation in other referrals or procedures such as euthanasia or gender reassignment surgeries to which they object on moral or religious grounds? So if doctors won't have the right to object, if they don't have the right of conscience, the left will use, or the globalists will use doctors even inside of the United States to accomplish whatever they want to accomplish. If that means euthanasia, if that means killing off undesirables like Margaret Sanger wanted to do, they'll do that. Because a lot of these idiots, some may actually believe this nonsense that the world is overpopulated and so we need to kill some people off. Or they're just bored and rich and they want to feel purpose and meaning in life. And they derive their purpose and meaning not from God, but from controlling you. It's really sick people. If this proposed rule removal takes effect, U.S. doctors are in trouble. What rule removal am I talking about? All right. So under a proposed rule removal by the Biden administration's Health and Human Services Department, or HHS, healthcare workers will have little recourse if their medical school, their employer, or the state that they live in insists that they participate in procedures or referrals which they object. The ruling question has been a political football for the last four presidential administrations, basically. But the current action on the part of the HHS is potentially more extreme than the actions taken by even the Obama administration. It threatens to leave federal consciences or conscience protections, which are required by federal law, without enforcement. All right. So these doctors can have the right of conscience. They can object based on their belief system. They have their conscience rights But if there's no enforcement mechanism in the federal government, what could happen is the federal government could just, all right, we're just not going to enforce. We're not going to enforce this stuff. You're going to have to comply. This is where we are. So if Republicans sweep the midterm elections this November, hopefully they should overturn this. The only way they're going to overturn this, the only way they're going to care about stuff like this is if you call. So guys, this is all connected. World Economic Forum, what's happening in Davos, Switzerland right now, the Great Reset, where these globalists, these totalitarian globalists want to rule all of us. What Michelle Bachmann warned us about a couple of weeks ago, where the Biden administration wants to cede or give over, hand over our healthcare sovereignty to the United Nations and the World Health Organization. And now this, doctors not having the right of conscience, all of this stuff is connected. Because they will use these doctors to carry out, and I'm talking about the globalists, they will use these doctors to carry out their plans to do whatever the heck they want to do with the rest of us. So Democrats basically want, and Biden wants, these healthcare workers, these doctors, nurses, medical workers, to totally abandon the Hippocratic Oath and obey almighty government. That's the goal. That's the goal. So Republicans have to sweep, and Republicans have to protect the conscience protections. This started in 1973, by the way. Congress established the conscience protections for medical providers just 6 months after Roe v. Wade was established in 73 under the what's called the Health Programs Extensions. The Health Programs Extension Act of 1973, and essentially, it's had numerous similar provisions that have passed subsequent to 1973. But the current protections are all tied to federal spending and effectively make it illegal for any healthcare providers receiving federal funds to require participation in or referrals for abortion or assisted suicide. So right now, the federal government doesn't have the power to do it. But the problem is there's no enforcement mechanism. So these doctors or these large hospital conglomerates or whatever can force doctors to do that. And doctors will be scared to lose their job if they don't perform some of these procedures. That's why private practice doctors, if you're listening, going back in a private practice, if you can afford to do so, or if you're willing to take the risk to do so, is definitely worth doing. We need more doctors in private practice, and not so many doctors that are being swallowed up by these major healthcare corporations, whether it's, any of these major large hospital franchises, if you will. I'm not sure that they're necessarily franchises, but you can go to different states and there might be this set of hospitals, and normally doctors would contract out of those hospitals. A lot of doctors are just giving up their practices because it's too hard to compete, and they're working with these larger hospitals and they're being employed by these larger hospitals, so they have to comply. So now, you know who does receive federal assistance? Are all of these hospitals receive federal assistance? And if they're run by social justice warriors or people that believe in the Great Reset, they're going to force these doctors to comply, or the doctor's going to be without a job. And you may say, listen, these doctors should just quit and walk away. And there's no doubt some will. I spoke to some on air the other night or the other day on Dennis Prager's show, where there's no doubt they would walk away. But what about the ones that won't? What about the ones that'll continue to carry out abortions or transitional surgeries, gender transition surgeries, and all that kind of stuff, or assisted suicide when there's no need? There's going to be a lot of doctors like that that'll remain, that are going to want a paycheck. So Congress doesn't have a lot of enforcement power, using its spending power as a means of extending its control well beyond the limits of Article 1 of the Constitution is a common practice. This is what the federal government does all the time, but not one that gives Congress much direct control. This, according to the Federalist. In this case, Congress hasn't even bothered to establish an enforcement mechanism. Where the heck is a Republican Congress? When they get in power, they don't do jack squat. I mean, seriously, I know they do little things here and there, but I'm talking about there's no long-term victories when it comes to Republicans. That has to change this election cycle. healthcare providers receiving federal funds cannot require participation in an abortion, but if they do so in violation of law, the consequences are unspecified, as is the enforcing authority. So if one of these major hospital networks or whatever say you're going to perform abortions, I don't care if you're Christian, I don't care if you're Catholic, I don't care, you know, you're going to do that. You're going to perform transgender surgeries. You're going to participate in assisted suicide, euthanasia. There'll be there's no recourse. Doctors won't be able to object. The only option would be to leave their job. And then we already have a shortage of doctors and nurses in this country. We'll be in a hell of a lot of trouble. The Trump and the Biden administration's actions, here's what they did. Several presidents have written regulations to bring clarity. I have a problem with the word regulations. I'll get to that, to how federal conscious protections will be enforced and to whom complaints should be made. So there's regulations about clarity. There's regulations about who the complaint should be made. But the problem is, again, no enforcement mechanism on these issues. Guys, forgive my voice. It's a little harder to get through the material today. But I hope I'm making sense to you, because I do think this is a danger. I do think the left is trying to control us, and healthcare is one of the easiest ways to go about it. Again, all you have to do is see what they did under these COVID lockdowns. Absolutely insane and dangerous. So Trump tried to bring some clarity in 2018. Trump's administration strengthened related regulations after a jump in the number of conscience cases were filed with the HHS, apparently as a result of an information campaign ensuring that doctors and nurses were aware of their rights under the law, in a sense that the Trump administration would actually enforce the law. And Trump would enforce the law, but unfortunately, Trump is no longer in office. And here's the problem. I said I have a problem with the word regulation. You'll hear this word oftentimes, and even conservatives, we may need to regulate this, we may need to regulate that. Or you'll get a Trump administration in office and there'll be executive orders or executive directives that they'll take. The problem with all of these things and regulations, they can be wiped off the books. This is why you want legislation. This is why you want stuff to pass through Congress. It's harder to get rid of. Look at Obamacare. Obamacare is crappy. It's made healthcare more expensive. You don't get the same quality of care without paying a buttload of money. I mean, the premiums are astronomical. The deductibles are astronomical today. Obama said all of this stuff would decrease. All of the prices have increased. Service has gotten worse. Many doctors have become more paper minded than patient minded. And it is a huge problem. And this is the problem with regulations. That's why we need law passed. So there's no ambiguity. There's no guessing, no speculation. We need clarity on these issues. The Biden administration, again, has decided to rescind the 2018 regulation. Like I said, just like that. That's why regulations, it sounds good, but you want people to come in to office, cut regulation, and make law to clarify what they want done. That way we can hold politicians accountable in D.C. or your state capital. Biden has decided to rescind the 2018 regulation, and it currently sits with the Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs. This is another issue. Guys, you have to be aware of this. This is so, so very important. What the Biden administration is doing is taking power away from Congress. Congress has ceded a lot of power to the executive branch, which is the White House, which is the presidency. But Biden is taking that and he's delegating these powers to these agencies. We have no say in that. It's a bunch of unelected people that run these agencies, no doubt libs that run these agencies for the most part. And we'll have no say in our health care. Doctors will have no say in their right of conscience, their ability to object to things that they don't want to participate in, medical practices that obviously violate the Hippocratic Oath. When you're talking about abortion, when you're talking about assisted suicide, when you're talking about doing damage to a person that struggles, permanent damage to someone that struggles with gender dysphoria, which could be a temporary part of their lives. This is a completely insane. So the article goes on to say we should expect the rescission to continue. And although we don't yet know if the Biden administration expects to replace it or make it weaker, make it a weaker rule, or simply leave conscience protections without any clear enforcement mechanism. Listen, the Biden administration is going to do whatever benefits the Biden administration and the left. So I think these rules will, they'll probably be weaker rules in place where there's more ambiguity. Things are even less clear. So the Biden administration can do whatever the heck they want. And hospital chains can do whatever the heck that they want with their employees. Biden doesn't care about your freedom of conscience. He really doesn't. Congress has failed to protect us and to codify, to protect doctors and nurses and medical providers that have a problem with this stuff, abortion and so on, et cetera. But if Republicans don't get in office and make this stuff clear, you have these people in the World Economic Forum, you have the Great Reset that they want to try to bring about globally. If we don't get a hold of this stuff, if we don't take back our rights, if we don't reestablish our power through the legislative process in Congress, for we the people, we're in a whole hell of a lot of trouble. Doctors and nurses are forced to act against their conscience. So there's several things that are going on. I should have given you a breakdown. The actions of the Trump and Biden administration, which I explained, doctors and nurses that are forced to act against their conscience. Doctors and nurses cannot bring suit. States could do more than federal government to protect these rights. So let me just go through these right now. Doctors and nurses are forced to act against their conscience. That's the situation right now. So the Committee on Ethics for the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists explained in 2007 and reaffirmed in 2016 the following position on abortion and medical care. So some, and I quote, some experts have argued that in the context of pregnancy, a moral obligation to promote fetal well-being also should justifiably guide care. But even though views about the moral status of the fetus and the obligations that status confers differ widely, support of such moral pluralism does not justify an erosion of clinicians' basic obligations to protect the safety of the women who are primarily and arguably their patients. All right. So no one is arguing about the responsibility of doctors to attend the safety of their adult patients, right? The same statement makes quite clear that this duty of care, going back into the column, is based upon the well-being of the patient as the patient perceives it, quote unquote, which includes abortion. So in case you missed it in that statement, the official position of the trade organization for OBGYNs is that moral and religious objections to abortion are moral pluralism, quote unquote, and they mean that in the most euphemistic terms, if you can. And then meanwhile, abortion is treated as the norm. I mean, think about that. Think about that. Abortion is the norm. Abortion is the norm with these people. And so people that object to that, doctors that object to that, nurses that object to that, may find themselves unemployed in many cases if they don't comply. So here's some stats. Christian healthcare professionals are feeling the heat to conform. Doctors and nurses are paying attention to this kind of pressure. There was a 2019 survey of more than 1,500 nurses and physicians connected to Christian professional organizations, found that 76% of respondents believed pressure to compromise their moral or religious beliefs had increased over the course of their professional careers. 76%. More than half of respondents believe that healthcare professionals face discrimination for refusing to participate in procedures for which they have moral or religious objections. They're being bullied. And 23% believe that they had personally been subject to discrimination for their moral or religious beliefs. I know people that have gone through this of the 20 in the medical field. Of the 20% of respondents who claim that they had decided against pursuing a career in a particular medical specialty because of potential moral and religious objections, the overwhelming majority, 80%, identified OBGYN. Wow. So doctors and nurses can't bring suits. So for healthcare providers who have been forced to act in violation of their moral or religious belief, the laws and their current enforcement leave few options for recourse, as noted in the background to the 2018 conscience rule passed by the Trump administration, quote, in lawsuits filed by healthcare providers for alleged violations of certain of these laws, courts have generally held that such laws do not contain or imply a private right of action to seek relief from such violations by non-governmental covered entities. So in most cases, a doctor or a nurse pressured to participate in something that they deem immoral, they can't bring suit. They can't bring suit. That leaves the enforcement to the federal government, and that's not going to happen under the Biden administration. And all you have to do is think about the deep cultural divides right now on the issues of abortion, euthanasia, transgender surgeries. It's time for Congress to act. It's as simple as that. Doctors, nurses, medical students, they have an obligation to uphold the Hippocratic Oath, but they're going to be forced not to if the law is not put into place. The good news is, even though doctors, nurses, and medical students will be forced some to perform some of these procedures, whether it's cross-sex hormones, transgender surgery, abortion, euthanasia, against their will, there's good news, right? If we take back the House and, Lord willing, the Senate, we can do more, and actually states can do more right now to empower themselves. So there's good news on a federal level if we can take back the state and the Senate, or the House of Representatives, I'm sorry, and the Senate, right? We can codify these religious conscious rights, or these conscious rights, into law, which we should do. But also on the state level, states can do more, and they can do that right now. As a matter of fact, if the Dobbs leak is consistent, according to this column, with the final decision of the Supreme Court, then state legislators will be more relevant to the matter of abortion than at any time in the last 50 years. State legislators should similarly recognize their authority to protect healthcare workers and to ensure that they are informed or of any rights and enforcement procedures that are provided by state law. So states can protect both doctors, medical care professionals, and the unborn. And that's what's going to have to happen, or what should happen regardless. So remember to call not just your officials, your representatives in Washington, D.C., but also in your state capital as well, to make sure that doctors are protected. This is going to protect us against the left trying to use doctors, these people at the World Economic Forum, the people at the World Health Organization, trying to use doctors to benefit them rather than to benefit us as the patient. We don't want a bunch of doctors growing callous. When doctors abandon the Hippocratic Oath and they become callous when it comes to human life and caring for people, they're dangerous people. And doctors, I hate to say that, but that's true. With their expertise, if these people are not morally sound, they can be a threat, because they can do exactly what the doctors under Hitler regime did, or anyone that participated in the Negro Project. They could use people like us as experiments. As crazy and as hokish as this stuff sounds, this is a real threat today. This is a real issue. That's why it's important to have governors like Governor Ron DeSantis. Just real quick, to wrap this up, Governor DeSantis announces a program to assist first responders in buying the first home. Governors and state and local politics are becoming increasingly more important. They've always been important, but now we're starting to pay much more attention to them just because of people like Governor Ron DeSantis. I call him the GOAT, the greatest governor of all time, because he matches his rhetoric with actual legislation. So now there's this program that exists where first responders can buy their first home. And it's not just first it's not just military or law enforcement. It's law enforcement, firefighters, educators, healthcare professionals, child care employees, active military vets. There's a $100 million, I guess, grant that has been established or given. So it's called the Florida Hometown Heroes Housing Program. And so he's going to be helping out people that want to get into a home that are in any of those professions. And that just goes to show you how much power the state has and local government has. So if I could circle back to the issue of the conscience rights of doctors and medical services, medical providers, we're going to have to reestablish their conscience rights one state at a time. The good news is, I think we'll be able to do that. And but it does depend on you. It depends on you and I calling our state legislators to make noise. Guys, listen, I appreciate you bearing with me with my voice today. Until next time, don't grow weary doing good, but please be sure to join me on my podcast platform. You can find me wherever podcasts are found. TheCarlJacksonPodcast.com is one place. SalemPodcastNetwork.com is another place. Again, anywhere podcasts are found. Also, follow me on all my social media sites, The Carl Jackson Show. Wherever you are on social media, you should be able to find me. I'm going to be posting more and more and getting used to the social media game. Been out of it for a little while simply because of all the censorship that was going on, but it is important. I want to be able to build this message. I want to be able to share this message. I want to fight for America. I believe it's the greatest country that God has ever given man. And with your help, sharing, liking the page, and sharing this information with friends, family, so on, etc., we can grow this show and grow the influence of the conservative movement around the country. And that's what I intend to do. So, guys, I appreciate you, all of you out there that are listening. And until next time, don't grow weary doing good. God bless you.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.